Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 10th episode of Boss Madle. Today, I sit down with Adina Schluss. Many of you know her as the chef's wife. And we talk about her journey into cooking and her passion for using beautiful, fresh, healthy ingredients to make delicious dishes. We also talk about, of course, social media, because that affects just about everybody. And I loved what Adina said about, you know, trying to avoid the pitfall of going onto social media and comparing yourself to everybody else. You know, she said that at the end of the day, creativity begins with herself. And to focus on what everyone else is doing is not going to get her anywhere. I thought that was such a great way of summing it up. And to take it one step further, I'm going to share a quote with you guys from Rachel Hollis, who writes, "Comparison is the death of joy. And the only person you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday." I really love that. And I would actually recommend Rachel's new book, which is called Girl, Stop Apologizing. Rachel Hollis has another book called Girl, Wash Your Face. She has a podcast. You know, sometimes I find her writing a little bit like rah-rah, but her father is a preacher and she does cater to a Christian market, or at least that's part of her market. But I love what she writes about. She is brutally honest and really funny and has a very inspiring story. So I would definitely recommend checking that out. And the other thing is, if you have not yet seen Brené Brown's special on Netflix, I know I've talked a lot about her, so I promise I will stop. But if you don't have time to read Brené's books, which are phenomenal, my favorite is Daring Greatly, at the very least, or on top of the books, I would recommend checking out her special on Netflix. I think it's about an hour and a half, where she talks to live audience. She is very engaging, super funny, and she really sums up the key elements that she talks about a lot in her books, which is shame resilience, fear of failure, vulnerability. It's really, really great to watch. So without further ado, let me dive into our interview today. Adina Schluss is a food stylist, recipe developer, and the creator of The Chef's Wife. Passionate about using fresh and natural ingredients, Adina inspires thousands of women to try new recipes that are vibrant, healthy, easy to cook, and most importantly, delicious. With her unique aesthetic and beautifully presented dishes, Adina's work is a visual feast. Adina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Adina. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, this is super exciting. I've been meaning to interview for a while now. I just love what you do. I love what you put on Instagram. And you really do have a very specific style and aesthetic. And I want to know what that process looks like for you. How did you find it? Where did you discover this joy of cooking?
Firstly, thank you so much. I like that people can recognize that, you know, there is something a little bit unique and they recognize what your, you know, style is and what you're putting out there. That's always nice to hear. I feel like it's funny because, like, going into this, I think people are like, how did you find your style and how did you find your aesthetic? And it's kind of like people think it's just like, oh, you're going into it, bam, you kind of develop what you are and that's what it is. But for me, it was like very much a process. Things kind of developed very naturally. If you scroll down on my Instagram, you'll see all my old photos and you see like the progression of like how things kind of developed. And I think so much of it is based on firstly like being in the field and like practicing and doing all that kind of stuff, but so much of it is also just being inspired by people around you and different things and you know, reading new cookbooks and always kind of like staying in touch with what's new that's out there. And that's kind of how it progressed. So it's definitely not something that I knew right away. I guess I am a minimalist at heart. That's something I think that reflects in everything that I do, in the styling and also the food, because I kind of like to cook very clean and like simple and healthy. And then when I style, I also like if you see my house, like I hate clutter. I like when things are very like organized and clean, and that's something that, you know, reflects in both. So that's kind of like how it developed. Like it was just a progression, and I, you see things and it kind of all just kind of comes together uniquely at some point. I don't know what point it was.
Right. Well, what's great is, you know, I'm a maximalist. You can see the wallpaper in the background. But I love your aesthetic. And I think it's great that, you know, anyone could appreciate it. And I think especially when it comes to food and cooking, and that can scare women a lot. The fact that your recipes are easy, clean, you know, any woman can look at that and say, okay, that's doable for me, rather than it being intimidating, I think is really special.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I also think that in the kosher market, there's not that many people that are necessarily cooking like that. So mm-hmm. I think it also gives me a unique edge. People are very into healthy now, and you know what they're eating and where it's coming from, and keeping things like natural and organic, and you know, it all plays into that. So
absolutely. So why do you think there is this comeback to the farm to table movement? Where does it stem from? You know, 10 years ago, it was all about the ketchup, brown sugar, mayonnaise, salad dressing.
Right. No, it was totally, yes.
Right?
Where does it come from? That's a great question. I think today's day and age, everyone's trying to get back to basics. I think everyone's trying to get back in touch with like the more authentic, real experiences. Mm-hmm. I think there is just this overstimulation of like so many things. Like, I mean, it's across the board, right? It's in social media and it's in life, and there's just so much going on that it's kind of hard to like focus in and find those kind of organic, real experiences.
Sure.
So that's, I think, where it comes from. And I think that kind of plays into our food and everything else. Like, you know, even in the restaurant business, I don't think it's enough to just have a good plate, I think, or dish. I think that it's very much about an experience and creating memories and feelings and all that kind of thing. And I think that with food as well, people are very into health, and there are just so many different, you know, diseases and stuff like that out there that people
Correct.
Are just very into what they're putting in their food and what they're putting in their mouth. And yeah, so I guess it all kind
right.
of, yeah.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. Now, was this something you always enjoyed doing as a child? Did you like spending time in the kitchen?
It's funny. I spoke to my mother about this like recently. I always loved it. I was always that kid who, even when I was young, was in the kitchen helping my mom. Even if it wasn't always cooking, my mother told me the day, she's like, you loved, like on Shabbos, when we had a really big home with a lot of family and guests and everything, and mm-hmm. people, she would make these really big platters. And I would always go and like take parsley and lemon and like try to make it look pretty. So even when I was a little kid, I guess I always loved to do it. Yeah. I like to make things look pretty, and I also like to cook.
It's funny. So I grew up not cooking at all and not stepping in the kitchen. And I think the first week that I got married, my mother called me and said, have you burned the house down yet? Is everything okay? Because I couldn't boil water.
Oh my God.
And now I love to cook.
But, oh really? See,
yeah.
it's all just a progression, you know?
Absolutely. So, you know, I had spent a year actually in Australia after high school, and I noticed that a lot of the food was, it was this very fresh, colorful type of vibe. How has, you know, growing up in Australia kind of influenced your style? Or has it? That's the question.
It's funny. Like, I never really thought about that before, but mm-hmm. but you're so right. I think Australia has such amazing produce. Way better than what I find here in America. And I think because of that, my mother always cooked, and we always ate like very like, you know, vegetable centric, like all produce, healthy kind of food. Mm-hmm. And having that, like, you know, at your doorstep makes a really big difference, because you're just more inclined to use those kind of ingredients. We also have amazing fish, you know, we're right by the ocean.
Right.
So
right.
fish plays a really big role in like the things that I like to cook. And we always ate it growing up. And we also, our meat over there is also amazing quality, all grass. I mean, just, it's all grass fed, because there's so much land over there. So yeah, I always grew up eating very healthy. Yeah.
Right. Now, as your name, tells us, you are married to a chef. So how does that work for you?
So it's actually funny. He used to be a chef. He's actually not a practicing chef,
right.
Any longer. He co-founded a company called The Fresh Diet, which was a diet company that delivered food all over the states. Initially, when that company started, he was the chef there.
Okay.
He doesn't cook anymore, doesn't even cook in the house, even though everyone's like, oh, you're so lucky, you married a chef. I want to tell you something. I make all the food. unless it's like a, you know, a special occasion or a holiday or anything like that. Sometimes he'll, you know, we'll write a menu together and he'll pick a dish that he wants to make, but otherwise it's pretty much me. But in terms of my inspiration and how I've grown as a chef, that's very much because of him. He always, like, you know, we're always looking to find new food experiences together. And even when we were dating, you know, we always went to different restaurants and all that kind of thing. And I think that really expanded my palate and just expanded my repertoire in general. Like, he'll always teach me these new tricks. And then I get to post on Instagram and tell everyone, you know, take all the credit for it, which is also fun.
Right. Now, that's amazing. And you can see that, I know, on your Instagram stories, you shared your recent trip to Israel and all the fabulous, you know, food restaurants and cafes and little, you know, corners and nook and crannies where you found this amazing food that most people wouldn't even know to find. So
right. It's and that's what's great, because, like, we do share hobbies, so we do love doing those things together. And he's working on a new, he actually owns a restaurant in Brooklyn called Allenby, and he's working on a new concept. So to take that tour together and kind of, you know, run ideas back and forth was really fun. It was a really great experience. So
right. And if there is, for some weird reason, any listener living in the tri-state area who has not been to Allenby, just go. We'll just do that.
Thank you. Yes, it's really, yeah. No, it is a really, really great restaurant. And it's fun. It's fun to be in business with someone. I mean, I help him a little bit, but really the restaurant's his. But it's just fun to be in the same industry together. Sure. We really, like, you know, help each other, which is really nice.
That's great. Adina, is there a common mistake that you find women make when it comes to cooking?
Well, I think for me, because I like to cook clean and healthy, I think the biggest mistake would be seeing people using, like, processed ingredients to enhance flavor.
Yeah.
I think what they don't realize is that there are so many ways to create a beautiful, like, tasteful, delicious dish with natural ingredients. And using, like, sauces and all that kind of thing is really, like, such a shame, because you kind of, you're not using the food to its, like, potential. I think the number one thing, and I always write this on my Instagram, is, like, for example, like a soup. This is just one trick that I always do. Instead of, like, sauteing an onion, to sweat it, which is on a low flame, and it coaxing out flavors from a natural source is really, like, an art. And, like, it kind of takes time to, like, figure out how to do it. But this would be one of them. So you kind of saute an onion on a really low flame, and it sweats the onion instead of, like, sauteing it, which is kind of more caramelizing it. And it actually releases a liquid. And that really adds so much depth and heartiness to your soup. So that's, like, an example of, like, really using, you know, natural flavors and coaxing out different flavors from ingredients, also like using herbs, and that kind of thing for, you know, extra flavor.
I love that. I think a lot of the old school cooking with the 100 sauces came from, you know, for example, I grew up in Montreal. The produce in January and February in Montreal is pretty sad. So there was this idea of trying to kind of cover up food that wasn't really great. But this day and age with farmers markets and, you know, there's no need for that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. It's definitely an old way of, like, cooking. And, you know, my mother did the same thing, you know, it was the ketchup, brown sugar chicken and the mayonnaise. And I think that we're all moving away from that. So that's, like, it's great. It's great to show everyone and showcase it. And it's nice to know, you know, to know all those little tricks.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you the most proudest of when it comes to your career? I know you're still building it, but you have so far built a really great brand. What are you proud of?
I think for me, it's really, I really did this as a hobby. I went into it and I was like, I really love to do it. Why not? And to have taken a hobby and turned it into a business and turned it into a career is, like, really so exciting. And I feel so lucky that I could have done that, because I never would have envisioned that when I first started.
Right.
So yeah, that's really nice that, like, I get to do what I love every single day. And I guess also, like, once I started putting things out there and people liked it and then magazines kind of approached me, that was really great. Because I was like, I guess I'm doing something right, you know?
Right, absolutely. So, and your work has been featured in Ami Magazine.
Yes, in Ami Magazine, a few other magazines. I also do like marketing work for different food companies, different styling, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Wow.
It's really fun.
So I'm sure there are some challenges that you have faced or currently faced when, you know, growing your company. Is there one in particular that you want to share with us?
Well, I guess the growing of the company really, like, for me, happens on Instagram, on mm-hmm. social media, where everything, that's where I, you know, put my work out and where people see it. And I think that for me, the hardest thing was finding a balance between keep retaining my privacy and creating content that is, you know, exciting and fun and authentic and real.
Sure.
I think that's a really hard thing for me. I know a lot of like Instagram personalities put a lot out there. And it's amazing that they could do that. But for me, I'm much more of a private person. So trying to find that balance where, you know, keeping it exciting and showing my husband and, you know, not putting my kids on Instagram because I don't like to do that. That's been hard. That's quite tough for me, actually.
Yes, yes. It's funny. With my other business and Instagram account, my older son requested that I not put him on Instagram, which I found very mature for a 10-year-old. But I have to respect that. And it's hard because it looks like I love this one child and where's the other one? But I'm like, no. It just doesn't want to be on.
That's so funny. Everyone's like, you're showing favoritism. Kudos to him for, like, you know, making that decision. He's only 10 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah, he just didn't want to be in pictures. He wanted to do his own thing. But I understand what you're saying. There is a struggle. And I feel like you really balance it beautifully because you do share some of your personal day-to-day, you know, your life, but you do so in a way that feels comfortable for you. And that's great.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's hard, but I think I found somewhat of a balance, you know?
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of balance, what does balance look like to you? What does self-care look like to you? For every woman, it's very different.
So for me, I think it's really, well, firstly, I work for myself. So, you know, having the freedom to make my own hours is really, mm-hmm. I feel very lucky. So, you know, when work gets too much, I scale back a little bit. I think for me is all the beauty stuff, like going for a facial and getting my nails done, which either the magazines or my Instagram stories, they're usually always done, even though now they're
right.
not. So yeah, facials, massages, I like to do that a lot. The number one thing is like date night with my husband. That's like really
crucial.
Yeah, it's so crucial. Like I feel like things are so busy. Also living in New York, it's like no time to actually like stop. And yeah, that's really, date night for sure.
Yeah. Adina, is there a common myth that you wish to dispel, or is there a topic that you're passionate about that you want to bring awareness to? And that could be anything from women balancing it all to women's health to really just anything.
I feel like I guess I'm talking because, you know, I do have this social media platform, but the number one thing is that like Instagram is not real.
Yeah.
And I get like so many messages. You know, I just went on an Israel trip and I went with two babies and people were messaging me like, oh my God, how do you do it? You seem like you're so calm and it's so easy. And I'm like, you have to remember that Instagram is 15 seconds of my day that I am we all pick and choose what we want to put on there. And there are so many other things that are going on, and don't get like deceived by this like perfection that is put out there. And you know, there are a lot of accounts that are, you know, are more authentic or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's 15 seconds of someone's life. So just always keep that in mind because it's, you know, it's not so easy traveling with two babies. There were times where like an hour with the baby was screaming for an hour, but I'm not showing that on my account. So I'm always keeping that in mind that Instagram is not real life. We just put things out there that we want to, you know, help inspire people and, you know, hopefully that it's going to help people in the kitchen or cooking or whatever it is that we're putting out there. But it's just 15 seconds of a life that we choose to show you. So,
sure. It's funny because we were both in Israel for Pesach, Passover, and I posted Paris the day before, but that was our stopover. And I posted the most beautiful buildings and the blossoms and us eating croissants. But what I didn't post was one kid had a nosebleed for like 3 hours straight. The other kid had upset stomach on the airplane. And there you go.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's all nice. Listen, we all put things out there to inspire. We only would like to do the pretty things, but there's sure. so much more to life, you know?
Yes. I will say though, that when I met you with your two little ones, you still seemed way calmer than I was at that age and stage where I think I was talking to myself, you know?
Really? Oh my God.
It's hard. It really
Thank
is.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a challenge, but yeah. it's great to travel. And if you could do it,
yeah.
you know.
No, listen, there's two babies and there's two of us. So right now we're still managing, but yeah.
So how has motherhood changed you on this topic of motherhood?
So I have a little baby. He's two. I have two babies, 1 2-year-old and 1 newborn who's only a couple months. It's funny because I was thinking about this question and I feel like it's constantly ever changing, you know,
sure.
like it's just this roller coaster of a ride. But I think the number one thing for motherhood, like with motherhood, is that you just find yourself going beyond yourself all the time. I feel like when you're single, it's this like very like not egocentric, but just it's everything is like you don't necessarily go beyond your own, like you don't push yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. And with motherhood, you find that, you know, what you used to think how many hours of sleep you needed is definitely not what you need now. And, you know, finding that room to be patient when you've had a crazy, crazy day and he comes home and all he wants to do is like talk your ear off. Just really going beyond yourself and past your own limitations. Like that's what I find just fascinating.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. If there was advice you could give to a younger generation of girls or women or to your younger self, what would it be? Anything you wish you would have known or you wish someone would have told you when you were younger?
I think like, well, in terms of like a career, I feel like for mm-hmm. me, I wish someone would have told me, like, don't overthink it too much. Like, I always wondered, like, what am I going to do? What am I passionate about? What? And it's kind of, you kind of put it down to, I have to make this decision. Where looking back in hindsight, it was so much more about a progression of, you know, finding a hobby and then kind of seeing where that kind of took me. And allowing that progression to continue and just see where it goes really put me where I'm at now. So like not getting too much in your own head and kind of allowing things to like naturally move along, is really something that I wish someone would have told me, because I would have been like, not so, you know,
sure.
caught up on like, what am I going to do? Where am I going? And all that kind of stuff. In terms of this generation, I think like the number one thing is, you know, live in the moment. Don't be on your phone so much. I find that people are just so busy like trying to document life that they end up missing out on it. And I do this thing on Instagram where, I don't know if you notice or not, but I don't post throughout the day. I really kind of save everything and I post at the end of the day.
I love that.
I did this more actually when I was on my trip in Israel. I found it so difficult to be in the moment and enjoy it and be on Instagram at the same time. And I think that, you know, kudos to the Instagrammers that can do both. But I don't think that for many people it's easy. And taking time to be in the moment and, you know, worrying about what's going to be on your story later is key, I think. So.
Yes. I remember hearing a story recently of some big singer. Could have been Beyonce. I don't know. Could be the wrong person. But essentially it was at a concert and she literally yelled at a fan and took away their phone because she's like, I'm right here in front of you. You paid money to see me and you're so busy on that phone and I'm singing right in front of you. So
I love that. I love that. And it's so, so true. Like you can't go around life and like, you know, viewing it from behind the screen. It's like, that's not real, you know?
Yes. And I think also, do you find that with this social media is our attention span is so much shorter because we're so used to constantly seeing these new images come our way?
Absolutely. I feel like we're so overstimulated that like stepping back and like slowing down is just so crucial because there's just so much going on and it's so hard to like keep up with everything. And also, you know, balancing your own life. And I think like finding the time to, you know, do that is like just so important.
Sure. What would you say to women who, and we all have this at some point, even the most confident of us, we go on, let's say not having a great day, and we go on social media and we see this image and that image, and it just makes us feel really bad about ourselves. Is there something you can tell women, or do you tell yourself something, like, you know, to kind of put things into perspective?
You know what? Like, those kind of days that I just get off, just get off the screen time. There's just nothing else. There's nothing else. Like, you know, it's just so important to focus on your own journey and focus on your own experiences and where you're going and where you're at. And being online, it just makes you focus on everyone else's. And that's not going to get you anywhere, you know? And I think that it's also the same with a career. I feel like, you know, so many times you see so many people that are, you know, putting so much other stuff out there. And I think that my creative journey really, I know, only it begins like with myself, but I know that when I'm on Instagram, like I lose sight of my own creativity. Like I'm so busy focusing on what someone else is doing. And I think that creativity has to come from within and that you have to be inspired. Obviously you can get inspired by the people, but it really has to start from within, and focusing on what everyone else is doing is really not going to get you anywhere. So
I love that. I really, really do. So, Adina, we're down to the fun part. This is the short list where I ask you your favorites.
Yes.
So I'll start with your favorite cookbook. I'm sure you have more than one. So go for it.
It's so funny because when you sent me the list, I was thinking, yes, what is my favorite cookbook? And the worst part is I don't use cookbooks.
That's amazing.
I don't use them because, firstly, I'm terrible at following recipes. Like, I don't even know how to do it. I always end up changing this and changing that. But if I had to pick like a cookbook that I love, definitely in terms of like aesthetic and photography, because that's what I like, is Cook Beautiful.
Okay.
By Athena Calderon. She is, I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, iSwoon.
I want to move into her kitchen. I need that kitchen.
Oh my God, tell me about it. I know. So everything she does is just so right up my alley, and she inspires me daily. So I was like, that's definitely the cookbook that I would pick.
Right. That's a great one. Do you have a favorite easy meal?
Yes. My salmon bowls.
Yes.
Sometimes the fish is cooked. Usually it's raw now that I'm not pregnant. But salmon bowls are just the easiest, literally, like I feel like it's a 10-minute dinner, and it's all on my Instagram. So they're all saved there if you want to have a look.
Yes, I love that your recipes are so doable. And if I've had a rough day and I'm exhausted and I've done cartpool and work, I can go on and say, okay, this doesn't scare me. I can do this.
Yes.
And it looks delicious and tastes delicious.
So yes, that's exactly what I'm going for. Good.
Yes. Do you have a favorite kitchen gadget?
Yes, a microplane, which is like just a... you know, like those things that you like zest on. I mean, do you know what a microplane is? Mm-hmm. That's my favorite because it just saves me so many times. Like it just adds so much flavor into my dishes when I can zest easily and all that kind of stuff. So,
yes. So for listeners who don't know what a microplane is, it's essentially like a mini grater. Is that it? Really?
Yes, exactly. But it's just so like, it's just so easy to use instead of taking out your grater. Like you just, you know, shape things onto a salad, onto a dish. And yeah.
Sure. Do you have a favorite spice?
I don't know if it's considered a spice, but Maldon salt.
Yes.
If you follow me, you know my obsession with it already. It's a flaky kind of salt that has a beautiful texture. And it finishes dishes off like so nicely. You don't think a lot of times that dishes need it if you've salted it. But actually, you're probably better off using a finishing salt as opposed to cooking with a salt because it really makes your flavors pop. This is like what we were talking about before about like, you know, really using natural ingredients to coax out flavor. This would be one of them. Like you can finish off a salad and a raw fish and a meat dish.
Yes.
And it just adds beautiful texture and like that subtlety, that subtle salt bite that you're looking for.
And I think they sell them in these teeny little packets. So when you travel.
Yes.
Right, we've taken it with us.
Yes, they do sell in tiny packets, or you could do what I do and buy like the tubs from Amazon because
nice. I
go through it so much. So yes.
That's great. Do you have a favorite quote?
Yes, Julia Child. You don't have to cook fancy or complicated masterpieces, just good food from fresh ingredients. And like, I think that sums me up. Like, it's really just about starting from the bottom, making sure all your everything is just good quality. And then from there, you know, it's always bound to be delicious if you start with the, you know, the good stuff. So
yes. Yes. I love that. Is there a favorite book or author that you have? And it doesn't have to be food related. It could be in any topic or field.
Two of my favorite books. One, Man Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It's like my Bible. I read it like once a year to kind of, you know, remind me to, you know, to refine that meaning that we're all looking for.
Sure.
And the other one is The Bronze Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who the author is, but
I forgot too, but that's a classic.
I am a sucker for a romantic novel.
Bet you can't join our book club. We have to do a virtual one.
Oh my God. I really need to join one. I would love that. I need another book like The Bronze Horseman, by the way, because I haven't found anything like it.
Right. And just the trilogy and the way it unfolds is.
And I love also history. So for me, it's like everything wound up in one beautiful book.
Right. Well, I love historical fiction. So next time I read a good book, I will send
Please,
it away.
Yes. I love historical fiction. Yes. Amazing. Okay, good.
Yes. To the point where I will like randomly say these nerdy facts out loud when we're somewhere. And my husband's like, how do you know that? That's odd. And I'm like, I read it.
Exactly. See, and the historical fiction, I mean, it's a love story. That's great. But also the history behind it just adds so much depth. I love it.
Sure. Sure. So lastly, do you have a favorite girl boss or role model?
I was really trying to break my brain for this one. There's like a bunch of people that like inspire me. Like I told you, Athena, like I really just love everything she's done. She started off as an interior decorator, and then she went into food, and now she's a food stylist. And I feel like it just goes to show that like creativity, like once you have it, it really can just manifest in so many different ways. And so I really do like her a lot. But the number one like person in my life that has always been like an inspiration is my grandfather, who came out of the Holocaust and like really just built everything from scratch and was the hardest worker I know.
Wow.
And he really, he came off the boat with like no family and no money in his pocket at all. And he like built himself like an entire business and like world really. He is definitely my number one.
Wow. And this will be airing later on, but for listeners to know, we're recording this the week of Yom HaShoah. So how beautiful then that, you know, you can share this with us.
Yeah, no, it's funny. My family like made a film actually of his life, and I was watching it. He passed away a few years ago. And I was watching it the other day, and I was just, it's really amazing how much drive, you know, an individual person can have.
Sure.
And how hardworking he was. So yeah.
Wow, that's really special. Adita, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell listeners where they can find you?
Yes. You can find me on Instagram, under The Chef's Wife. All my food recipes, life, everything is all on there.
Yes.
I'm still working on the blog, but we'll get there one day.
But it is great for listeners who do not know of it. There's those great, easy, delicious recipes we talked about, some tips. I mean, you have really everything on there. So it's super fun.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Pleasure. Looking forward to see what you come up with next. Have a good one.
Thank you. All the best. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.